Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
This is a Word of Life with the Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche.
Word of Life broadcast with Prophet John Anoche is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
Light the world with the Word of Life. Word of Life.
This is a Word of Life with the Lord's General, Prophet John Anoche.
Remember that I've been sharing with you some series of things, amen. And it's from one point to another and all the other ones, because as we teach one particular part and we don't teach all, you may not understand when you read the Bible. Amen. But now I know that when you read the Bible, you are beginning to understand what it means and what it is. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Especially the book of Revelation. We are at a point where the end times agenda of the Lord is coming to pass with speed. Amen.
Amen.
But let's consider something in the word of the Lord. Amen. The book of Malachi, chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." Now, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." It's not the Lord. He's talking about a messenger who will come and prepare the way before the Lord. But when he says, "And the Lord whom you seek," that means the one we are seeking is the Lord. Mm-hmm. The one the Israelites and all of the people were waiting for was actually what? Was the Lord. His name is the Lord at the time. Then the Bible says, "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple." So when he comes, he's coming to occupy his temple. Because his temple is not just a physical building, because Jesus never dwelt in even the temples and synagogues of the Jews. But he was talking about the temples which are us. And the Bible says that, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" So, "And the Lord dwells in you." Amen.
Amen.
So it means that he was coming to fulfill a purpose and dwell in temples. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now he says, "And he will come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant," and this is my emphasis, "even the messenger of who?"
The covenant.
That means when he's coming, he's carrying a covenant. He's not just coming alone. He's not just coming with, you know, 10 hands.
10 fingers. And
10 fingers and then 10 toes. He's not coming with them. He's coming with what? A covenant. Somebody say a covenant.
Covenant.
Yes, he's coming with a covenant. And so prophetically, they began to speak about the covenant that the Lord was coming with. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Follow me as I follow Christ. "Even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming," says the Lord of hosts. Now, remember that the prophet prophesied, and it was more than 500 years, and Christ had not come yet. Malachi prophesied. Or Malachi, he prophesied before the dark ages, and when the dark ages came, before, you know, we see Anna, we see Simeon, and then we see Jesus. So I want you to understand the word of the Lord, that when the prophecy came, Jesus did not come overnight. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, even though men were disturbed and were waiting long for him, some other people caught the revelation of his coming, and they even prayed a prayer. "The Lord, let me see the consolation of Israel before you take me." And these people understood the time and the time they were living in. And they knew that we're having an assignment, that when the assignment is that they translate from this realm to another, or there's a transition. Okay. Now, it was an awesome understanding. Today is a bit different, but it's the same thing. So the Lord began to reveal unto us that he is a messenger of the covenant. Are you with me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a messenger of the covenant. Now, so if he's a messenger of the covenant, the Lord began to talk about what he's going to now do. So the entire book of, you know, Malachi chapter number 3 was talking about futuristic stuff. He was talking about futuristic stuff. Now, now that we read the word of God, we see that it has already come and what? Gone. But Jesus is coming back again. But he coming the first one, he's gone already. And he's giving us promises here. But people don't understand when they read the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. They think Malachi chapter 3 is Old Testament. It has nothing to do with us. But the prophecy of Jesus even coming and the works he's coming to do was prophesied here. And the fourth of the book of Malachi chapter number 4 also states and gives us something about the day of the Lord. And then he even tells us the kind of prophets who are going to come in the end time about the day of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And he speaks, highly of the Son of Righteousness. Now, so if you are reading the prophets, you need to understand that the message was received under the dispensation of the old covenant, but it was for the new covenant. Are you with me now?
Sure.
So the messages in the new covenant was given to us by the people of the old covenant. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, so I have tried to cause you to understand the knowledge of God, okay, concerning prophecies of old. And then the revelations that are unfolding and coming to pass. So you don't make mistakes. Amen.
Amen.
So it's very, very important. So that is actually the first test that I put forward about the covenant. Okay. When we were considering, we're talking about the covenant. We talk about the first covenant. And we talk about the second covenant, if you remember. Now we talked about the first covenant, which is the covenant of the law, which the Bible says came by Moses. Right, the book of John chapter 1, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came by God, Jesus. Now, grace and truth is contained in the law, the new law of commandment. It's contained in there. So when you read and you understand it carefully, you know that, wow, this is one of the promises that is with the new law or the new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
When we were dealing with the covenant, I made mention of a lot of things. For example, I made mention of the covenant by circumcision and the covenant by uncircumcision, right? Yes, now we are dealing with the new covenant. The new covenant is now our focus. And the focus of the new covenant is what we represent. For the old covenant, it is for just a learning. But this particular one is where we are now. If you need to understand that, so you can read wide and go to the old and the new to be able to gather information on the knowledge of God together. And that is what some of these things are revealed unto us. It's given unto us. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes. It's given unto us. So you have to press towards the mark. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Now, good, good, good. Now, if you don't study the word of God and revelation comes, you may not understand them. Yes, you need to study the word of God for yourself so that when revelation comes, you can understand what God is saying. Amen. And that is what we got, the gospel of circumcision. And I explained to you that the Bible says that the Israelite which is from above, okay, is free. But the one is on earth is in bondage with her children. Do you remember that word?
Yes. Jerusalem from above.
Yes. So, but the Jerusalem from above is free.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one we belong to.
Yes.
But that's the one Jesus has brought to us, of which we have been made temples.
Mm.
And I look, the Bible said there was no temple because he is our temple because we live in him. Are you hearing the point?
Sure.
But now that we are on earth, he lives in us. Why? Because, and we are made to live with him and in him by faith. But he lives in us. Now, the Lord also spoke unto Moses and revealed unto Moses that there's somebody going to come. He's the one who will give what? New laws, or he will give you new commandments. And so Moses prophesied about it in the book of Deuteronomy. And if Apostle can go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18,
Deuteronomy chapter 18,
number 15 to 19.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst.
Yes.
From your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying,
mm-hmm.
Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And
yes.
The Lord said to me, what they are spoken is good. Verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Verse 17. And the Lord said to me, what they are spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. And will put my words in his mouth.
And he will put my words in his mouth. When you put the word of the Lord or your master in your mouth, what are you going to do? You're going to speak it. Okay, let's go.
Speak to them all that I command him.
Yes.
And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him.
Hmm. if repeat that, apostle, this is dangerous.
Verse 19.
Uh-huh.
And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a very powerful word. Amen.
Amen.
Very, very powerful word right there. Yes. So, God spoke unto Moses, Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse number 15 to 19. Now, so you hear Moses talking about his assignment that God has sent him for, and that he was supposed to do that assignment. And then, you know, and Jesus said there was some kind of instructions with the assignment. Amen. All to the fact that the one that God was talking about was the covenant what? Messenger. Or the messenger of the covenant, of the new. So the one that was coming, the one who was going to bring it, is the one that the Lord is talking about right now. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's the one the Lord is talking about right now. So so you need to understand a lot of things from God. If you understand, you can put things in perspectives, you know. Like I was talking to somebody, I was telling a person, there is a pattern and a way that the Lord has shown me that Christians ought to prosper through that pattern. But Christians are very stubborn because like sheep, so they want to hear everybody's voice. Meanwhile, Jesus said, my sheep heareth my voice. So if you are a sheep of Jesus, such as I am, I hear his voice. You need to hear his voice. When somebody is standing in front and moderating, you should be able to hear Jesus' voice. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, and decide, this one is this, this one is that. Amen. So we don't speculate. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Let the Lord bless you and keep you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, another thing that you need to understand, after God spoke unto Moses, okay, Jeremiah also prophesied about it in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 31, from the verse number 31, 32, 33, 34, yes.
Behold, the days are coming, says
yes?
the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of
Israel. Ah, now it says, behold, the days are coming when I shall make what? A new covenant with the house of what?
Israel. And with the house of Judah.
With the house of Judah and the house of what? The entire Israel. Let's go and see something.
32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke,
yes,
though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds.
I will put my laws, in other words, my words, because the word of the Lord is a law in the spirit. So I will put my law in their what?
Minds.
In their minds, first of all.
And write it on their hearts.
And I will write it on their hearts.
And I will be their God.
And he says, and I will be their God.
And they shall be my people.
And they shall be my people.
No more shall every man teach his neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And every man his brother, saying, know the Lord.
Yes.
For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord.
Yeah.
For I'll forgive their iniquity.
Yes.
And their sin I will remember no more.
Yes. So you see the word of the Lord. Which verse are you in now? 34?
34. Yes, sir.
Good. So you see, the Lord began to speak unto his prophet, and they began to prophesy that there's going to be a new covenant. And this new covenant, when it comes, I will write those covenants on the minds of my people and then on their heart. Amen. When I write it on their heart, it means the devil will not be able to steal it. If only they hearken to the word of the Lord God has planted into their heart. That means that the Lord writing the law in your mind means that you have to take an effort after the Lord's Spirit has come upon you to study the Word of God so that the Word of God is written in your mind. So like it's typewritten. Amen. Have you seen the way it's typed? Yes, sometimes I can see somebody. I say, God is giving me a message. And I hear the person. They are typing computer into the person. There are things you can see with your optical eyes. You can't see with your optical eyes. But what I just want to tell you is this. The new covenant was prophesied about before it came. So it wasn't afterthought. God knew whatever he was doing. Everything was in plan. I tell you, everything was in plan. A lot of people are looking for the redemptive plan of God and what God did and redemptive plan of God and all of that. He was already aware of what was going to happen. Are you hearing my point?
Sure.
And he had made provision. That's why Christ was revealed. Amen.
Amen.
So he released Christ even from the foundation. so that the last day he will appear and die.
Mm.
And then he will go and sit in the right hand of the Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
So you need to understand what it means. It means so that when you know the covenant, you know, but this is a very serious thing that you need to understand, because this is a covenant of your life. So the life you have received, which is the Holy Ghost life, which is the Zoe life, what governs this life is the covenant, the new covenant. I hope somebody is understanding me.
Sure.
What governs the operations of our lives on earth, in the spirit space, and everything we do, the teaching, the preaching, and all of that, is based on the new covenant. And that is why when you know the structure of the new covenant, you know from here we are going here, from here we are going there. You won't join people who are going to say that they will be carried before the time. So they know and have understanding. Amen.
Amen.
So you see, these two prophets, Malachi, Moses, they are talking about what God has spoken unto them concerning something to come, you know, in a futuristic sense. That God knows that they won't be here, so they will sleep with their fathers, and he told them these things. So he knows. It's not like he's not aware when he tells you that I'm going to help you, bless you, and all of that. He gives you a date. Then it's like the date can pass. You have to remember, he's aware. And God loves the fulfillment of his righteousness. And his righteousness is the word of God he speaks.
Mm.
So if he doesn't fulfill, nobody trusts him with his word again.
Mm.
Are you together with me?
Sure.
Thank you, Jesus. Apostle, will you continue from 35 to 36 for us?
Yes, sir. Jeremiah 31, verse 35.
Yes.
Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day,
mm-hmm.
the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me
forever. This is a powerful word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you have to understand that God prophesied these things unto Jeremiah as well. Jeremiah knew these things, and he spoke them. Now, and Malachi knew it, and then he spoke them. Now, it was about 500 years later that Jesus came. And when he came to confirm and to, like, the Bible actually stated that he came to fulfill. The fulfillment means that if in the law it was said that a prophet is coming, he will heal the sick. When he comes and start healing the sick, it's fulfillment of what has been in the prophecy.
Sure.
Are you understanding what fulfillment is about? Yeah, that's what it means. Amen. Yes. Yeah, so you need to get understanding of what God has said concerning the new covenant. Who and who have spoken about the new covenant before? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. So that I can go into details with you about the new covenant. Now, this new covenant, okay. Now, every covenant that is established with God or between men, there is always something like a witness or a testator, right? So, the testator and the testament is Jesus. Do you understand the point now?
Sure.
Jesus himself is the testament. He himself is what? The high priest or the testator. He himself is the one ministering at the sanctuary for this particular sacrifice. But he's faithful and he doesn't touch it. Because the Bible says, as Moses was also faithful in all what?
God's house.
In all his house. So the same way the Bible says, Jesus is faithful, ever faithful, if we remain faithless. So that is what it is right now. For you to get it and understand that the new covenant came to me, came to the Christians, based on A, B, C, D, which we must adhere so that we can fulfill purpose on earth. Are you hearing my point now?
Sure.
Very, very important. And let's not chase after things that are immaterial, things that are not beneficial to our kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, that is what it is. Now, so let's go to the book of Hebrews, okay? Chapter number 8. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 8. That Hebrew is a very powerful labor shatter. Hebrews chapter number what?
8.
Verse number 6.
Verse 6.
Yeah.
And now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises.
Okay, so now look at what the construction is about. It says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, okay, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant. So here he reveals Jesus, who he is in relation to the covenant. That he is what? That the Bible says that Jesus is a mediator of the better covenant. He is what? The mediator. of the better covenant, which was established on what? Better promises. So he actually gave the promise that a time is coming, I'll do everything new, right? Mm-hmm. I'll do everything new. And that is when he changed this particular feast and he changed it to only wine, okay? He changed it. But the Bible says that he has obtained a more excellent ministry than the angels, right? And he has become a mediator of what? Of the better covenant. Because it was established on better promises, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. So what are the promises? So let's go on to the seventh to understand the covenant he's talking about.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord,
yes,
when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel,
yes,
and with the house of Judah,
yes,
not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers,
mm-hmm,
in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the
Please
Lord.
Please pay attention. This is the covenant that I will make, yes.
I will put my laws in their mind,
yes,
and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Yes.
None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Mm-hmm.
In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, in that a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. A new covenant he has made, but he has made the first one what? Obsolete. That means it ceases to function. Okay? And the Bible says, and growing old is ready to vanish away. So that means it's ready to what? Vanish away. Now, when is it ready to vanish away? Like, the focus should be on the New Testament. And some of the prophecy books that God actually gave the prophet about the signs of this coming and what shall befall the church. And they wrote it, you know, perfectly. I've heard Apostle mention with Jonah a lot of times, you know. They had encounters and all of that. But it can't be codified here, all right? That is what the Lord is actually, you know, reminding you of it, okay?
Sure.
Yes. That because there is a new covenant, this one has made the old obsolete. And growing old to vanish away, all right? Mm-hmm. So you have to understand it. You have to understand the covenant, the new covenant, what it represents, okay? Now, so when we are going to teach the people and receive people into Christ, usually we go and preach to them, we ask them, do you know Jesus? Do you want to be part of the kingdom? And all of those things. Now, this is simple when you understand this particular new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
Because you want to do it so much so that somebody down there, the street, will know that you are doing something. Right?
Sure.
But if you are doing it with the mindset that I understand what I'm doing, this is a covenant issue. I'm preaching the gospel to someone that must come into Christ. Okay? And it's because the person must also enjoy the blessings of the new covenant or the promises of the new covenant. Are you with me, somebody?
Sure.
That is the reason why I taught you about the promises. But that promises doesn't tally or doesn't go with the old covenant. It goes with the what? The new covenant. And in the new covenant, he has said specific things that are very powerful unto us. And he says he's going to write his laws in our minds. And he's going to what? Put his word in our what? In our heart. Now, that means a word that is in your mind, it means you won't forget. A word that is in your heart, it means that it comes out anytime you need it. So it is kind of power that is inherent, a power that has been given unto you. I love it when he says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can what? Think. Or think. What we can ask or think. According to what?
The power that works in us.
So there's a power that works in you. Jesus put it there. It is that which will come and what? Garnish your life. So if you don't see and relate with the power that is inside of you, how would it manifest through Christ in you and to the outside to bless your life? And that is the reason why we pray. That's the reason why we do all those directions. So understand what the Lord was saying so that we are blessed with what the Lord had given us. Amen.
Amen.
That he will write his laws on their minds and then on their hearts. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. So he says, I will have a new covenant And that covenant that I will have with you, you will put my laws in your mind and will write them on their heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now, so this one is an extension to everybody who believes in Jesus Christ. Because we have established that already. Every one of them who believes in Jesus Christ. So you become like more or less like that kind of tribe, a spiritual tribe that God has ushered all of us into. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, so you have to understand and waiting and doing the work of God until the last days. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So you need to understand. And the Bible says that even not the fleshly commandment and the fleshly ordinances of the synagogue, back then in the law, was becoming a problem for them. So now, Jesus, we don't have to go into the synagogue and wash our feet, our mind, and all of that, and go to a box and confess. That is not the point. Wherever you are, you can actually know the Lord. You can confess. That's why he says, no one will come and teach you anything. You yourself will help them, raise them up, and they'll become independent. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Now, so what Apostle read unto us, we want to read the 10th chapter, okay, also. Because the Lord has said, I will be merciful unto them. And I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness. And then what? And their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now, he says, in that he says that a new covenant, he's made the first obsolete and is becoming old. So there is a new covenant that God has given us. And that new covenant, the messenger of that new covenant is the Lord. Now, but let me shock you something so that you can understand the difference between Moses' covenant, which is the Moses' covenant, which is the shadows. And the shadows were so tangible, but in the original, they are a spiritual reality. I want you to understand something. In Moses' tabernacle, or in Moses' covenant, that the Bible says that the law came by Moses. The law was a schoolmaster. The law was tangible. It was material. It was shadows. It could be touched, felt, and all of that. Humanly handled. But the covenant, the new covenant of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, it's a spiritual reality. You can only touch it with your feet. You can relate it with your spirit. But you need to cross it into manifestation of in the interim. Whatever you do, it has to manifest. So all glory goes to him. Amen. Yes. Now, Moses was never the covenant. But Moses was the one who brought the covenant. But in the law's covenant, which is the Bible saying that in the book of Malachi, that he is the messenger of the covenant. What you need to understand, and I should make you understand, is that Jesus himself was the covenant giver or the covenant maker. He himself is the covenant. I would say was, because the covenant still is. So he is the covenant. Because the covenant is the word. I will write my word into their heart. And the word is the Lord Jesus. So the covenant is Jesus. The testament is Jesus. Because covenant is the testament. So the testament, the covenant means that the things we ourselves have resolved to do, which we have entered into an agreement with. So what binds us together is the agreement we have put together in paper or on paper. But Jesus is the one that we have put on paper. Are we together?
Sure.
Now, when you engage what is on paper, what is revealed is Jesus. So Jesus becomes the testator. The testator. Then he's the testament. Now, remember that testator like Moses had to die before the law was enforced, right? Now, Jesus, he died for the law to be, or for the testament to be enforced. The moment Jesus died. So it didn't mean that the testament, Jesus had to die and resolve before now it is actually the new covenant. No, that's not what it means. Otherwise, Moses' covenant would have been the same. Moses' covenant existed, but when he died, and they started practicing it. But once he was there, everything that they did not understand, because he was there to answer, they resolved to him. But the moment he dies, nobody resort to Moses anymore. What is written is what? Taken. Period. Jesus is on the same. When Jesus says something, whatever Jesus was preaching in the Gospels was part of the covenant. But he had to die to enforce what he has taught them. That's why a lot of people don't understand. So when you understand covenant, you won't put away the book of Matthew, Luke, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all of that. You won't put them away. thinking that, okay, Jesus died and resurrected in the book of Acts. So once he resurrected, that's when it starts. That is a mistake. He taught the covenant. He taught the covenant. Because he himself is the covenant. But he is the testator. So the Bible says, until testators die, the law cannot be enforced. The agreement cannot be enforced. That is why we can only take our agreement to court, for court to settle it, when the other party is dead. When the other party is dead and the family people are coming, hey, you know, we own this, we own this. It's only the law court that will explain that, no, according to paper, this building is not only for your dad, it's for your dad and his partner. Are we together here? Because when men are dead, then it's enforced, that the testament is enforced, but it has to be the death of the testator. But this one, he died, resurrected, and he ever lives to give the deeper meaning and interpretation of the word of God that you don't understand. Are we together with the covenant?
Sure.
So it's a new covenant. He's making the old obsolete, okay, for the new to be established so we can understand the new one. That is what it means. So you have to get it. Hallelujah. It is Glory. A very powerful word. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody shout, glory be to Jesus.
Glory.
Now, when you read the chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews and the verse number 16, okay? The verse number
16. Verse
16. Yes, sir.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Okay.
Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember. And this is a prophecy that God gave it. He said, and this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, hear the Lord. I will put my laws into their own hearts. Now, how is it that the laws of God are put in our heart? That is why Jesus Christ came to live in our heart. Eternity has been fixed in our heart. That means these things, these beings in us, Christ Jesus in us, the Holy Ghost in us, they carry the word of God. The Holy Ghost is the activator of the word of God in us. So Jesus, once he lives in us by the word of the Lord. So everybody's heart contains the word of the Lord. So meditate what is written. So it will what? It will stir it up. It needs it. That is why the rain from heaven must come and meet what? The one in the earth to create what? Reactive things for the earth to what? Benefit. For example, Jacob had to receive the portion, the double portion anointing. The dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth is what his father blessed him with. So you always have to understand the two portions. Even the Lord, when he was sending his anointings, the people he sent them to bring the anointings and all of that, some of which remain on earth, some of which are taken. So that the one who assumed the one who is written on earth and he wants to take the one there for fulfillment of purpose, he has to seek the Lord in humility. Somebody wave your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So this is a new covenant. That the Lord did. Amen. And when you read the book of Hebrew, the same Hebrew chapter number 9, verse 15, it says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. By means of what?
Death.
For the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant. So this new covenant is also the one that forgives the people who are under the first covenant. Who are under the first covenant, they were called the transgressors. They were given the law, but they transgressed it. The Gentiles were not given any law, so they didn't transgress anything. They were actually lost. They were not in God. God was... Do you understand the point now? That's what I'm... So, but these people, they were given laws, but they transgressed against the law. So it couldn't make them perfect. And so the Lord translated all of them into Jesus, that received Christ Jesus, and be what? And be perfect. But they say, no, we will not. Jesus is our brother back corner. You know... Because they don't understand the spiritual principle. They are still waiting for some sort of Messiah that they think it was not. It's not even in the Bible. But their own mindset is perceiving what this particular kind of military guy was going to do. The new covenant. My Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the new covenant. Sure. Now, Jesus, man to Siva, lift up your hand and say, Father, I thank you for the new covenant.
Father, I thank you for the new covenant.
Now, the new covenant is what you are with. Amen.
Amen.
So you are not supposed to be with the old covenant. The old covenant gives you knowledge, information. But the new covenant is who you are.
Mm.
You are born out of it. Amen.
Amen.
You hail from the new covenant.
Yes.
So you cannot be weak, because the covenant of the Lord is not weak.
No.
It's a potent force that lives throughout generations until Jesus comes and says, okay, that's fine.
No.
So understand in the book of Malachi when the Bible says, and the messenger, okay, of the covenant, the Lord whom you seek will soon come. Now, and he came, you know, and he himself is the covenant. But he establishing the new covenant on the premise that he uses his blood to seal it up. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And without the shedding of blood, nothing seals. So even the blood of Jesus himself, the Bible says, was used to cleanse heaven. When Jesus died and then he resurrected, his blood was used for that purpose. So now when you set yourself apart to seek the Lord, you need to understand the new covenant, the living way, the new and living way of the Christians. So you can research on them and find out everything about the new covenant. Then you can now be blessed. You can now position yourself and be blessed. Amen. Because when we're talking about the circumcision and all of that, we talked about covenant. Especially we talk about, you know, the covenant of the Lord. But I did not title like the new covenant. But in the Bible, this is what you see, the new covenant. The new covenant that he says, I shall make with my people. It's a very powerful, it's a very powerful word. Amen. So this is no longer telling me that, okay, the circumcision of the foreskin, is it part of this? No, it's not. The new covenant, there's no circumcision of any foreskin. It's only the circumcision of your what? Heart. Circumcision of your heart. Render your heart, okay, humble and useful unto Christ. And that is the message that you need to understand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. That is the message you need to understand. So now, I want you to get it straight up. That the new covenant, okay, features everything about you, the church. Do you understand? The body of Christ. Everything of you is there. So that is why you need to comb through the scriptures to see yourself in the scripture. And the more you read, the more you become. The Bible is a mirror. So you are looking into the mirror. You are transformed into the same image of Christ. There's something that the new covenant offers that the Christian has not yet come to discover. But as you begin to delve into the new covenant, you begin to now see all the things that are codified in the word of God concerning the new covenant.
Amen.
Are you hearing my point?
Sure.
A lot of people thought that the covenant and the things in the covenant is only about healing. It's only about deliverance and all of that. That was given to the people who are weak, who get weak in the kingdom. Or by virtue of something happens to them and they want that so that they can be whole in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean that is all to it. No. This is not even part of anything. This is even one level of something. In the covenant, we are supposed to look like Christ Jesus. And when we look like Christ Jesus, we are supposed to function like Christ Jesus. So our head looks like Jesus. Our hands looks like Jesus. Our entire body looks like Jesus. Our behavior also what looks like what? Jesus. Now, it's only when we get into that level, because that's why everything that is in Christ is yes and amen. We get to that level that we know, okay, all these things are not a part of it. Just that it is needed by some people. At a point in time, it's needed by some people. But if you live a glorious word life, word spirit life, I'm telling you the truth. Mekato Yarabusha. Something definitely will happen to your life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father, for your power and your glory. I just want to let you understand that there's a new covenant, and the new covenant, the old has become obsolete. It's passing away, and the new is what you have been ushered into. And the new that you were ushered into, the Bible says that in the book of 1 Corinthians, Apostle. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read that one as well, so the people of God can understand. Chapter number 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The verse number 23 to 25. Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23
yes.
to 25.
Yes.
For I see from the Lord that which I also delivered to you.
Yes.
That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
Uh-huh.
And when he had given thanks,
yes,
he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying,
okay,
this cup is the new covenant in my blood.
This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This
Please
cup.
As often as you drink it.
So the cup is actually what? The body of Jesus or the blood of Christ. Let's say the both the blood and the what? And the body of Jesus. He said, this cup represents me. This cup is what?
A new covenant.
It's a new covenant.
In my blood.
In my blood. So the cup is in his blood. The new covenant in his blood. So life came out of the blood. That is why the blood in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the 25 verse, from 22 to 24, the Bible says that, and to what? And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So the New Testament or the new covenant is in his blood. That means there's life in the blood that we receive, the Zoe life. That is the life, that is the eternal life that doesn't let us die. The Bible says this life is also in the Father. The eternal life, which is with God, is also in the Son. So the Son has given us his eternal life. And he lives by the glory of his Father. That's what I always talk about. So the new covenant, okay, features this profound teaching that the people of God must understand. And that is why we can't write off even communion, because the Bible says what? And this what? This cup
is the new covenant.
It's the new covenant. This cup that we are going to share wine of Christ Jesus with is the new what? Covenant. Because that is what has been used to fetch what? The blood. That is what has been used to fetch the blood. And so that is why we have to understand, you know, the word of the Lord and the reasons why we say what we say. We plead the blood for this. We need to understand it. We need to get it. When we get it, I'm telling you the truth. It is the new covenant in my blood. And this is the new covenant. He said, do this as often as you do. Remember my death. That means that without the shedding of Jesus' blood, the covenant of the Lord wouldn't have been activated. Now the new covenant is activated. It's working. We don't need, the Bible said this one is passing away. Does it mean that it is still relevant and working in it? No, that is not what it is. What it means, you don't even understand it. There are people, members of the household of God, who are yet to be in Christ, but following the law. So they make the law alive in certain areas of their lives. Are we together now?
Sure.
Good. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just bless you that you understand, Maso Fradila, that the new covenant, Liba Satarabushanda, Mevedeska, also has ordinances, okay, and commandments, which we need to understand and swim in the spirit. We'll enter dimensions and realms and we'll be there to speak things to be. Amen.
Amen.
And this is actually about the new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
So understand the new covenant. And when you are praying and thanking God that you are a part of this covenant, okay, know the choice of words you're going to be using. And this new covenant ushered the Christian into it. You know, the Bible says that the church was born out of the new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
And so we are New Testament conscious. It's very good. But you see, we dig the old to be able to see Christ's agenda there. Amen.
Amen.
That's all. But you need to cap it here, because here is the finality, which is what? The word of the Lord. Amen. But notice that the two covenants that God gave, the first one is made obsolete. The second one, where he said that, I will write my words on your heart. I'll put my laws on your heart. I do not usually want to use the word laws, because it gives people some ideology that, but we said the laws are over. How come he's bringing new law? You know, it's up. Every word of the Lord is a law. So when the law sits and says, this mobile phone is two, it becomes a law. In fact, his words are law. Yes, even in human kinship and all, he says, my words are my bond. My words are my laws.
Yes.
So he put his words in our heart, and he put his words, he write our his words on our minds. Amen. So
Amen.
The word of the Lord, that is what that power is in us. He must deliver every time. So every day when we need the word of God, we must speak it. We must speak it into what concerns us. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And I tell you, you'll be amazed. Amen.
Amen.
At the kind of results you're going to get, because the new covenant is working for us. I said the new covenant is what?
It's working for us.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I pray also that you belong to the new covenant. If you don't know Jesus, this is an opportunity to know Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. You receive his life into your heart. And then as you begin to pray, he gives you the utterance for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidences. Okay, even of speaking in tongues and your zeal for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now that is what he gives. So this new covenant has a lot of goodies into it. I wanted to introduce you to the new covenant for you to understand that this is a new covenant. And in the new covenant, okay, it is blood also of Jesus Christ, which is the perfect blood that activated it. And that is why the blood of Abel is not speaking new covenant, but the blood of Christ Jesus, which is the last to be addressed in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, you know, from the verse number 22 to 24, the last that he addresses and that gives that salute to, he says, and to the blood of what?
Sprinkling.
Which speaketh better things than the blood of what? Abel. That means the blood that is seated in front of the golden altar, that is sprinkling, is speaking better things unto us. The blood is doing confession. Therefore, we must also declare and do confessions. But we must do a faith-filled one. Amen.
Amen.
And the confessions won't stop you from acting on the word.
Lord.
Somebody, you are blessed and favored in Jesus'
name.
We trust you've enjoyed today's broadcast. For more information, visit www.johnanochiministries.org, www.worldwideworldministries.org, or call 0302-507-154 or 0540-996-670. This broadcast is made possible by partners of John Anoche Ministries.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26-767-6055. +233-26-767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.